for me as a leader, I want to focus more on the agent's mental strength, knowing that that has been a big part of this year and their well-being. That's now coming into this industry a lot more than just numbers.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. On today's podcast, I'm joined by the agency CEO, Matt LaHood, who we know well for his leadership skills and words of wisdom when it comes to real estate. But what might be a little less well known is that Matt's son, Luke, also shares a passion for the industry and is currently a leasing partner with the agency's Eastern Suburbs and Inner West branches in Sydney. So welcome to a very special family-focused podcast, Matt and Luke LaHood.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you for having us on board.
Well, it's a pleasure. This is the first, I think, father-son duo we've ever had on the podcast. So, Luke, I'm going to start with you today while Dad takes a very rare back seat. So how did you come to be in real estate? What's your background?
Yeah, so my background's in IT. I went to uni to study IT because that was my passion. But I saw Dad has been doing real estate for forever, and I saw that it's probably something I want to do under his wing. Just because he has the experience, and I thought I could get an unfair advantage.
Yeah, well, he's pretty good, actually. We have him in our training programs quite a bit, and people love him. So, interesting. So, growing up, did you guys talk a lot about real estate? Like, did you know what you were getting yourself into?
I remember when Luke was small, early on, I'd be trying to hush him in the backseat of the car while I was getting phone calls, picking him up. I've always been, as you know, Sam, about people following their passions, because my favourite line is, if you're not skipping to work every day, you need to be looking at what you're doing. And I could see Luke was into tech early and pushed him to do what he wanted to do. It's always easy to think. It's a nice sort of motherhood statement to say you'd love your family to be doing what you're doing. But I didn't follow what my dad did, and I'd expect Luke to do what he wants to do and was right behind that. But I could see he'd always ask me questions about, Dad, why did you do that, or why do you say that? And I could see there was some curiosity there, but it's just the way it's worked out. It's been really good, because we've been able to get the best of both worlds. We've got a tech head around us and understanding how to, you know, implement that into the industry.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that, what a year to join the business. I mean, 2020 has been like a very interesting year for real estate. So with the background in IT, I can see why you'd be so keen to get Luke on board. So I imagine you came in with some fresh ideas and things like that. So how did you handle being in the middle of a pandemic starting?
Yeah, absolutely. Coming fresh into the industry, bringing sort of the technology that I had, I saw the traditional ways of doing things, as in open houses, having tons of people sitting out the front or close together. When I thought to myself, this is probably not the way to do it, especially during a global pandemic. Mm. And I just had the tools that I had with me, my phone and my laptop. And I thought it would probably be best to use these tools to sort of maximize the social distancing and doing FaceTime inspections, WhatsApp live calls, pre-recorded walkthroughs. I found that just helped a lot during the pandemic. I could just go down myself while everyone's at the comfort of their own home, and I could take a video or take someone through, even if they're not even in Sydney. Yeah,
at the height of the pandemic, we didn't see the demand for real estate slow down much at all. Oh. People were a bit unsure in the beginning, but you still have to move homes and things like that. And we heard stories of multiple people showing up to open to inspections and real estate agents having no real way to handle that. Yeah. So how did you approach that?
Yeah, with the rental side of things, we actually saw an increase in demand around the east, particularly around the beaches, with tenants wanting to find property with like a balcony or an outdoor space. So yeah, again, the videos, they helped me immensely, just pre-recording videos. And I wouldn't obviously set public times for an inspection. If someone really wanted to see it in person, I would book them for a specific slot during the day. and take them through one at a time. And if multiple people wanted to see it, I would give them a slot of 5 minutes during a particular time of the day.
We're just talking off air, and you had a very interesting approach to that by texting people in their cars.
Yeah, if I had probably more than five people that wanted to come see it, I would set an hour out of my day aside, and I would say, everyone, let's meet out the front. You guys sit in your car, and we'll take one person through at a time with a five-minute slot. And that worked out really well because everyone could stay distance between each other and everyone would be able to see it.
Running it like a military operation.
Yeah.
Sam, while Luke was designing these ideas, obviously running them past Maria, who runs our PM team, and Lynn, and he was also telling me at home what they were doing, I was thinking, well, I can roll that out in the sales team. So this is the great thing about trying to roll out and then roll it out to the rest of the company. Agents wanted to come in or not come in. Using the fact that wasn't thinking about things like WhatsApp Live and doing FaceTime to view a property for a final inspection for the tenants, that becomes something that come out of all of this. Then we did private inspections and things for the owners on the properties that were due to settle. They were doing private inspections via FaceTime type of things. All this started to come quickly, and then it sort of got out into the market generally. I think there were some other ideas coming from other companies, but this sort of stuff started from the use of tech. Yeah, so that was exciting.
Yeah, so interesting. So you started in property management. Whose idea was that?
That was my idea to start Luke in the leasing side. So he doesn't work with me day to day. I very rarely see him actually in the office because I'm in all offices. But he works in the PM team. We've got just under 5,000 properties under management in the group.
Yeah.
So he's very busy, and I thought that's a really good way for him to enter the industry. So leasing, you've got a tenant and a landlord. Obviously, you've got less price ranges and risks when you're starting to worry about in terms of selling, you know, a million plus home or whatever. So it's a great way to start dealing with vendor, say, and purchaser, which is landlord and tenant, and negotiations. And obviously, tenants come in and they want to not pay the same rent the owner wants. So there's a learn the process with a view to eventually ending up as a sales agent. And Luke's come with me to plenty of opens over the years, stood out the front hand brochures out and things like that, and done all the sort of non-dollar productive things for Dad when I was an agent.
Excellent.
So attended probably a lot more auctions than the normal child.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, it's good that he's followed you into the business. I don't think my daughter would. She's watched me publish.
I tried everything to maybe turn him off that because I was always working. I was very rarely there for his football and soccer on Saturdays because that's the game we're in. But at the end, as you become closer, as your kids get older and they can understand what you do, why you do what you do, he can see a real path. He's passionate about the freedom and of the role brings, and he's good with people. That's a people business too. So blending that IT and people skill together, and he's followed the ethics that we have as a family and as a company, and that I have shown in the industry as well, which is important. That's been one thing, and yeah, here we are.
Well, I was going to ask you that question, what's it like working with Dad? Because, again, I know that my daughter and I probably wouldn't do so well in the same office, even though she does do odd jobs around here. But so you guys don't actually see each other much?
No, not too often. Dad's in and out of the office all the time. We're all sort of too busy to sit there and have a chat anyway.
Yeah.
But it is good. Look, any time I have a question or anything I'm not sure of, I can always give him a call. It's worked out really well because I have the freedom to sort of run the day how I need to. And yeah, any questions, straight to Dad.
So another thing we were sort of talking about, you know, a little while ago was how you use technology to run your day. So tell me a little bit about how, as a younger person coming into the industry, perhaps with not the same baggage and knowledge that other people have been in the industry have had, what are some of the things that you're thinking about now to be more efficient?
So my goal is to automate as much of my day as possible with tech, whether that would be responding to tenant inquiries, setting open times, writing an open run on the weekend or midweek. I just try and use the technology I have as much as possible to obviously get the most out of it.
How many opens would you do on a Saturday at the moment?
Yeah, probably 10 to 12 at the moment.
Yeah, wow. And so what you do is you use Google Maps to map out.
Yeah. So we have a system where basically you can just select a group of properties and basically use the artificial intelligence and Google Maps and basically just map out the most efficient way. And it also takes into account live traffic as well.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Which is great, yeah. I mean, something agents out there in the field doing sales, same thing, because that extra 5 to 15 minute travel time can put, if you're stuck in school traffic on a Saturday or sports traffic, which is always, we work around, Luke works around Parkside, Beachside. There's a lot of the sports in that area when you're trying to do opens. Then you've got to get there and find a park. And
yeah, classic Saturday, especially yeah. now that all the sport's back on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and thank goodness for that. So it has been a bit of a tricky year, and you and I, Matt, have talked at several junctures throughout yeah. the year on various different things, and I think you were one of the first people, as I remember, to get on a webinar with me and help other people in the industry
yeah,
with what,
right.
you,
that's
what,
right.
what you guys were doing. So how has 2020 ended up for you and the agency?
Well, we've had our best 3 months ever since we started the business in the last 3 months. So August, September, October, November finishing also too. So best 4 months, I should say. Totally different to what we thought would happen. Obviously, the market's held up with the JobKeeper, JobSeeker, which the rentals have swung back around. So in terms of rentals arrears, that's all sort of cleaned itself up to a degree now, even with the commercial business as well. But what we found, Sam, is there's been two types of focuses from principals and agents in this business. Is one's been gear up and have a real swing, and the other's been go home, pull the sheets up and go back to sleep.
Yeah.
There's been two types of people.
Wait till
and I think that's in every market. Yeah, let's forget about this year. We took the approach that our business hasn't been going for a long, long time, right? So it's still a startup. So we're always in startup mode anyway. So we took the view as, all right, we've got a roadblock here. What's the best way around it? Now, the beautiful thing is our agents just took the same leadership in their own teams.
Yeah.
And they went, I see opportunity. I'll step up, make more noise, be more visible in around social, dominate the social space, more communication to the vendors. I think what I'm really proud of is the Melbourne team, because they got a double whammy and they've been belted. And I've had agents there, and I know you, thanks to yourself, Sam, reported on some of our successes, like our Sam Hobbs doing a 400 GCI in lockdown in yeah, 1 month.
Amazing.
Followed by a whole lot of other agents in Melbourne, that what they did is they'd used their downtime to prepare.
Mm.
While others were using Netflix and YouTube and yeah. maybe, you know,
watching the crowd.
Watching the crowd. Our guys, quite cleverly, were doing FaceTime, doing all these types of things, getting contracts ready, doing negotiations subject to a visual inspection on a $3 million house. I've heard stories of our agents down there, like getting the vendor, the buyer, and the agent on Zoom talking about the properties and then asking all the questions. Now, that would never happen in a normal market, inverted commas.
Yeah.
So have we got something now that we can use in the normal market where we get an owner on Zoom with a buyer and say, hey, I've got the owner here, and you guys talk, ask the questions about schools, what's it like, the neighbours, why did you knock the back wall down, whatever. Even though you can still do it face-to-face, but just to cut speed to execution down, a Zoom meeting might be the easiest way to do that from now on.
Yeah.
So there was those things, solicitors online getting contracts prepared, doing virtual inspections, doing a price negotiation subject to a physical inspection once lockdown had finished. Now, that's how we get our agents thinking outside the square. So the other thing that I loved about that, Sam, communication with the potential clients was rising in that time rather than decreasing, where I think some other agents in the marketplace might have thought, oh, I'll just leave everyone alone. It's a COVID and lockdown. I'll go and watch The Crown.
Yeah.
And then they're now back probably 3 months from where they were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were one of those vendors that pressed on. I think I've mentioned we sold our office during lockdown.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah.
And now we've managed to buy a new office, an investment property, and rent a house all sight unseen.
So what have we learned? I reached out to my father, who's 82, and Luke's grandfather, and said, have you ever seen anything like this before? And he said, no, I didn't. I haven't even seen the Spanish flu. I missed all that. He goes, I've never seen anything like this. And I said, what's your view on, because he's been a very successful businessman over the years. He's seen the credit squeeze and the GFC and the wars and everything, the controllable sort of, to a certain degree, things. But this got everyone on the back foot. And he said, look, my view on it is put your hat and coat on and keep turning up.
Yeah.
Because he said in 12 months' time, they'll be talking about COVID. And if you stop doing what you're doing now, to start again is very hard. And he said, when we ever had any global GFCs and the credit squeeze he had in the 70s and all that. He said, we just kept going. He said, it'll pass eventually. Mm. Now, I thought about that and I thought, you know what? That was what I was already thinking, but it's just good to hear it from somebody who's been there, done that. He said, just stick within the government rules and keep turning up. He's actually said, put your hat and coat on, keep going out the front door. Old school, right? So, and that's what we did.
Actually, you just reminded me. I remember I interviewed Paul White and Brian White about Ray White, about their grandfather one year, and Paul said people would say to Ray, I've got no listings, what do I do? And he said exactly the same thing. You put your hat on, you put your coat on, you walk down Queen Street and you talk to people.
How good's that? Yeah. And look what they've done and achieved as a company, you know. So, like, that is it. I think people want to deal with people that are there, first of all. Mm. And they want to deal with people that have a plan. You know, I know Claudio Ancina talks about it, who we know well. They want to deal with the hero. Who's the hero in that marketplace that they can see the hero that's getting results? They don't want to deal with people that are, you know, shrinking violets that have disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, they want to deal with the person that can get the results.
Well, that's it. In times of crisis, people look to leaders, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, we're very lucky as a country. Leadership stood up. New South Wales stood up. Morrison stood up, et cetera. Everyone has different views on all these things. But the only way to do it is to compare yourself to the rest of the world.
Mm.
We've done a big swing back, including Melbourne now, which is great. Queensland back. Everyone's back as a country. So everyone around your national group of leaders that will be listening to this, we're all back. But what did we learn, Sam, from COVID-19? That's what I thought. With Luke, I've learned a lot from Luke on how I would think. For Luke, being a generation, as soon as he heard that COVID's not affecting anyone young age, these guys just kept trucking along.
Yeah.
They weren't interested. In their minds, they're not going to get it because they were being told that you can't get it. You know, if you're young, kids don't get it, young kids don't get it, whatever. And I think that was sort of a bit of your attitude, wasn't it, Lukey?
Yeah, you were, to a certain degree.
Yeah, obviously aware and had to do all the sanitising and everything, which is now part of the world that we live in anyway. Probably should have been beforehand.
I like the hand sanitiser.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, agreed.
I actually think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Smorgasbords are finished and all that sort of stuff.
Also a good thing.
Also a good thing. But there will be some changes in all different businesses. But I think in real estate, what we have learnt in COVID and what we will is nimble. You need to be nimble. We need to pivot quickly. And the other thing I'd just say to your listeners too, who has a COVID 2.0 plan? So if it does come back, does everyone have a written plan? Well, one thing I did as soon as it started to, we were in the eye of the storm, I said to the management team, can we start putting a manual together? Because I joked about it with you when we interviewed about as I reached for the COVID manual. Well, I tell you what, next time we're going to have the manual on the shelf.
Yeah.
And it'll have close office, sanitize, inform tradespeople, inform suppliers, write to vendors, write to landlords, write to tenants. We're not going to guess ever again on this. Now, touch wood, hopefully we don't see it again, but there's a high chance it might be something else next time. And let's all, as an industry, help each other in terms of have a plan and we don't have to worry anymore. We've got a plan. We'll go back and we'll do virtual opens, we'll do virtual auctions type of thing. So I think it's critical. They say don't waste a good pandemic.
Or a good crisis.
A good crisis.
Yeah.
And take what you learnt out of it.
Yeah.
Quite different to sort of what you were saying. You've seen some people saying, oh, great, it's over. Let's go back to our old ways.
That's what I was going to ask you is, like, when you look out there, I sort of feel like there are a couple of groups now that I see. One is we've learnt a lot from this pandemic. Let's keep on that path of learning and growing and being customer focused. And then there's another group that are kind of like, okay, whew, thank goodness that's over.
Yeah.
We can go back to doing what we were doing. I've talked to people about auctions. There was a big pivot to online auctions in, say, April, May this year. And then some people just went back to, oh, thank goodness we can go back to live auctions. But there are some people that are motoring ahead with this hybrid model because now they can bring people in that they never thought that was
the
possible
hybrid's
to bring
beautiful.
In.
Why wouldn't you use, that's another use of tech, isn't it, the online virtual bidding. By having everything, by having, you know, the auction now type models or whatever they may be, that you've opened it up to the world effectively.
Yeah.
So, you know, like by doing it, best thing for the vendor, isn't it?
Yep.
So, no, it's really good. And so the other thing is the thing we all defaulted back to really in COVID, the things that really mattered was family, okay? What's your kids doing? What's your loved ones doing? How are your parents?
Is everyone okay? Healthy? Yeah.
So really, I mean, at one point in time, we must think as a society, really, it's been the thing for me to sort of get off the hamster wheel and slow down a bit was, is everyone right first? Because once they're right, so I think we tend to put work out there and go hard, and then until you sort of get hit in the head with a COVID or a pandemic, you start to go, what's actually really important here? I think the stat was 75% of people have changed their lives because of COVID. Mm. They've changed where they live, how they work, where they work, where they want to live. 75% of people in Australia have changed their way because of COVID. So are there 25% of people that are sitting there thinking they don't want to change or that probably may change, need to change too, the other 25%?
They were the ones with home offices and big balconies.
Yeah. I think getting back to the core real estate question, I guess, was that's why real estate, I think, was so successful because everybody needs a roof over their head. That's why the industry kept trucking along in the COVID period. Yeah. We were viewed, I think, Lukey, as, you know, you guys were viewed as an essential business because rentals, so we didn't have to close down as, you know, roof over their head. It's the most important thing in life to have a safe environment.
That's it. It's the bottom rung of Maslow, isn't it?
Like yeah, it is.
Everyone has to have that.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So, Luke, can you put your future hat on for us, your future goggles, and tell us where you see real estate in the future?
So, obviously, tech-focused, I'm visioning a day where open houses are a thing of the past.
Yeah.
And we've got professional pre-recorded videos with virtual furniture, nice high-resolution video.
Interactive, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah, interactive. You can zoom in the corner, you know, see whatever you need to see. And basically, we're just spending our days getting these videos ready. And obviously, it's inclusive for everyone. We can send it out to a group of people.
If you were to go and rent a home from somebody in the next 2 years, what would you expect that experience to look like?
Obviously, the days of organizing physical meetups should be a thing of the past in my eyes. So if I was looking to rent, I would obviously want it to be contactless, send money, electronic funds transfer, view the property on my phone or my tablet, being able to see whatever I need to see, be responsive with any further inquiries, whether that would be laundry placement, car space, what type it is, and just have the information at my fingertips, being able to apply on the spot, online forms, and basically go from there. Yeah.
What about sign on glass too with the leases and things?
Yeah, that's been a thing. We do that now, and I only expect that to grow.
Yeah. I mean, we just had a really easy transaction too with someone. We saw the thing go on the portal. We applied for it all electronically. We were approved for it electronically, signed the lease electronically. The only piece of paperwork that I had to sign manually actually was a piece of paper saying that I hadn't viewed the property physically.
Oh, okay, so right. Yeah.
That was the only physical piece of paper I had to sign. Yeah. Interesting. What about property management in the future? Because there are all sorts of property management models out there, and you and I were batting around the concept of I can't see Generation Z being any more patient about maintenance,
exactly,
for
example,
than how long it takes you on your phone to get an Airtasker and an Uber.
Exactly, like,
Airtasker says, I can't get there because I've got no car. Well, fine, I'll call an Uber for you.
Yeah, and that's right. Yeah.
You've got it sorted.
Yeah.
Where do you see that all heading in the future?
Well, we're working on a few things in the not too distant future with basically an application where a tenant would have an individual account with their property under that and have all our tradespeople there ready to go, so they never even need to get into contact with the property manager. They can basically organize it themselves, whether that would be taking a photo of what the issue is and speaking to a chatbot to get a work order out, essentially.
Interesting.
And that informs the PM team and it's all interactive.
Yeah.
So it's
just.
The tradies have a sign-off number. They need to come back to get approval and all done to speed. So rather than you're basically cutting out someone in the middle, aren't you?
Mm.
Just stop.
So it doesn't touch as many hands as it usually
speed
would now. Yeah.
Yeah. And so given that will all be electronic, how difficult do you think, because you're a relationship man, Matt, and you are known for your relationship skills. If it's all that fast and that easy, how do you actually build rapport with people when it's all about tech?
It's a good question. There's still obviously listing the property. They still want to contact a person.
Yeah.
So that part's always going to be back to the relationships. And I think in the pandemic, probably communication, like landlords didn't really understand the rules the government imposed in, the tenants didn't really understand. We had to be quickly up to speed on it. So the use of the agent probably came to the fore more than anything in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
So again, that was the relationships. I actually got interviewed the other day. One of the mediums had a story on real estate agents. Image, they'd gone up a peg. Did you see that story?
Do you know, we're writing something on that today.
they went up a peg.
The Ethics Association of Australia, yes. Or something or other, yeah.
And my comment was, it was probably because the role that they did play, certainly in the rentals. I saw the whole team that Luke works with in the agency, and we've got 60 staff there, Sam. They were full bore all the way. There was no breaks in COVID for the property managers. Were getting called, our commercial management team were getting called from the owners in their shops. So all that negotiation, I guess that can never be done by a chatbot, as you call it. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
or that AI can't do that. And that does need relationships, even if it's not face-to-face. We can now, Zoom has just appeared, hasn't it? I know yourselves are very tech-focused, but I think the traditional agent, they saw Zoom as a distraction rather than a tool. That's my difference with sort of working with Luke. He's looking at speed to execution rather than old school was that's too hard to learn to use. But once you actually know how to use it, it's actually so good. I've been doing interviews and recruiting over Zoom for the whole team since COVID. Now, will I probably do that rather than jump on a plane and go down to Melbourne or Perth and meet some agents? Will I initially do that in the first instance going forward? 100%. Wouldn't do it probably pre-COVID. So there's all these things that have come out. I think the way that the PM of the future, as Luke's saying, it could be just there will be a relationship needed there. There's always something that needs, you know, rent reductions, rent increases, missing statements. That can't be answered by a computer, right?
Yeah.
But it's just the speed to execution to get the job done for the client. By the use of tech, I think that's the thing, isn't it? For both clients, tenant, we treat the tenants as our clients as well.
Yeah.
Because we know that, here's a real good stat, I think 60% of the tenants we last surveyed were buying in the next 2 years. So we want them to be our buyers. If they don't like the way they rent through us, they're probably not going to buy through us.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I think we're a classic case of that too.
So there's a lot of tenants that are buying who eventually buy. So I don't understand why the industry's, they're the forgotten part of the real estate industry. And I know Luke's already had people approach him about, can they help him, you know, like find a place to buy, and after he's rented them things later on down the track. And so he's already had those calls, which is exciting, and that's his path to sales will eventually go that way from, that's the sort of plan, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see. We did a story, I think, a couple of years ago on some of the agency's young guns, because you do tend to bring a lot of young people in the agency and match them up with some of the more experienced people, and then...
That's exactly the model, Sam, and it's even more vindicates it. Last night we had our Christmas party and just meeting and listening to the aspirations and the hopes and the dreams of the young people excites me, because, you know, I don't see myself as old, but I see myself as like been doing this for 30 years, and I've picked up bad habits on the way too. Don't you worry. I've tried to shortcut stuff that I can to get things done for clients, but now with shortcutting it versus the way we used to shortcut it is a completely different way. Shortcutting it with tech is fantastic if you just got to, it's just about learning and understanding it. Yeah. I think a lot of people, certainly my generation, are scared about it.
Yeah.
They're going, it's a distraction. They don't want to have the sort of patience to actually learn about it. This generation, now that are coming through into the industry, that's just the way they, it's just normal.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to do that, you're behind.
Yeah. You guys are digital natives.
Yeah.
Again, I point to my own daughter, and I can't imagine a moment where her phone isn't physically attached to her hand.
Yeah. Same with our daughter.
She's Snapchatting or Facebooking, or she wouldn't. Facebook's for old people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sister and my daughter, she's the heaviest user. She's 18. She's the heaviest user of the phone, beats Luke and I, and we got calls coming in all the time at home. She beats us hands down on the phone.
Yeah, interesting. Definitely. How do you approach somebody who's maybe a bit older, an older agent or a more experienced agent, who says to you, hey, Luke, I need to know what this TikTok's all about, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's been the past year for me pretty much, a lot of tech support. And I find if you just take the time to sort of break things down, and just explain it as it is, it's generally not too hard for people to understand. It's just taking the time to understand what they're confused about and, yeah, breaking it down. It's very easy most of the time to get them on board with it, and they can see the benefits very quickly.
One of the things Maria, our head of PM, identified with Luke, which I didn't think of, is she said straight away that, oh, he could be our go-to for the whole PM team with IT. So Luke often gets dragged in to put a presentation up on the screen that's not working and not connecting, or set up someone's computer. So he's diverse around that, which is great because it's helped him with relationships too in the office. And help exactly with to your question, which reminded me of it, is can you load this app on? Can you show me how to do this on the phone? And so our whole team hopefully are open and exposed to a lot more things because of that availability.
Yeah.
And I like to think Luke's now bringing in, he's got some of his friends that are pretty sharp at what they do, looking to potentially, they've seen what he's doing in real estate and looking to enter too into the industry now because of what he's doing.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, look, that's a great lesson for any agent, is make yourself indispensable to someone and you'll always be on their speed dial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even when it comes to buying and selling property. So I just wanted to ask you guys a question. Like, Christmas is coming, Santa's almost arrived, and some people have had amazing years and some people not so much. How do you guys approach marketing around Christmas time? Do you just get on the phone and say...
I'll just take you behind the curtains last night. It's a Christmas party. So what I did last night and the management, I said to the management team, we're going to have a Christmas party, but it's going to be a COVID focused in terms of spaced out, group out, everything, which we did. We had over 100 people in the office. We had to have a limited number. But I said to the team, let's just view 2020 as no formalities, because it was a year that surprises. Let's have no speeches tonight.
Yeah.
Let's just enjoy each other and be grateful that we're all still here and that we've all still got our jobs, which I think people were like going, wow, yeah. As you know, we've got up to 420 staff now nationally, and we didn't put a single person off in COVID. We took pay cuts, et cetera, through the group to do that, and our staff backed us all the way, but we didn't lose one person. So coming into Christmas and how we do that, we have skeleton teams on PMs. I think you've already got your schedules already worked out, who's on, who's off. Sales, same thing. The business doesn't, inverted commas, shut down. So I'll take a break, but I've got people in behind me that'll take the calls, because you need to be with PM, and it really doesn't take a break. Someone's hot water system breaks on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
We've got to fix a problem. So it's the same as settlements, always settlements. And we've noticed, Sam, too, with the sales. See, Melbourne's just come out going, Christmas is a distraction for them now.
That was my next question, actually.
And in some of the Sydney agents, I guess, and our Perth agents, I'm finding the same things. Their hockey stick momentum, where it picture the hockey stick, they were probably just warming up in February down the bottom of that hockey stick when they were trying to go up and it got blocked.
Yeah.
So they lulled in that bottom of the hockey stick. Now a lot of them, and touch wood, a lot of our team have their best years ever, and the hockey stick's gone bang, and then they've got this thing called Christmas, and they're not, some of them mentally are tired, but they're not physically tired because they have had that sort of, Melbourne have had plenty of time, not they haven't actually been able to leave the properties, right?
Yeah.
So definitely the crew there are saying, I wish we could move Christmas and make it Easter and Christmas in one. So they're actually thinking like that.
Yeah.
So I think in Melbourne and areas like the regional areas like Central Coast, I was speaking to our top agent in those suburbs all last night at the party.
They're so all busy, yeah.
Wollongong, Central Coast, Hunter Valley, Bowral, all of those guys normally would be off. They're saying that the Sydney market, because I don't know if you've seen the stats, but 75% of inquiry for all of those three, well, Bowral 75%, 80% on the Central Coast is coming from Sydney.
Mm.
Now Melbourne's opened up. I think that's going to be nearly 90% plus is coming from down south, because these people have decided Sydney, a lot of them, they're going to move away because they don't need to anymore live in right in the middle of the CBD or in a west, lower north shore east so much. They're driving all these. So the agents there have gone, we just might need to make Easter our Christmas. Yeah. So that's sort of been the feel. I'm just asking everyone to just do a self-check, self-assessment of their own mental space and mental strength. I'm not talking about sort of mental health. I'm saying mental space and mental well-being. How are you here? Do you need downtime? Are you fresh? Because you don't want to be stale and dropping the ball for your clients either. I'd rather the agents take time off and then not do transactions, because once you're stretched and you start, the crack starts appearing in the glass. We don't want that either. But there's some agents that are fired up, ready to go, and they don't want to slow down. And yeah, they've got their owners saying, keep going. And if they've got that, they're going to run it all the way through.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too. I'm not hearing about any Greek-a-thon scheme trips or you know, like anything like that.
No, I think, well, it's blocked anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the skiing trips.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are your goals for 2021? Have you had any thoughts?
As a company?
And then maybe personally, yeah.
As a company, very simple. We're just about the good people, business about finding good people. We had a lot of them in the room last night, and they were saying to us that they love working with good people. Mm. And just to sit back and watch the networking that was going on amongst the agents there last night was exciting. Goal is to really tighten up the processes now we've been through this. Understand, take the good things we've taken away out of 2020, take the bad things, and get rid of those and really put the processes in, should we have, as I said, 2.0. Focus is going to be on next year. For me as a leader, I want to focus more on the agent's mental strength, knowing that that has been a big part of this year.
Yeah.
And their well-being. That's now coming into this industry a lot more than just numbers, crunching, deals, like GCI. I think the scoreboard in the industry's been missing a few things. I get GCI, I get KPIs, I get EBITDA, I understand that's a scoreboard, but we now need to add to that family, well-being, mental health, your health, fitness. I think they're extra KPIs we should be scoring on too.
Yeah.
I'm working on a huge rollout with Claudio, who's going to be stepping right into more training with us next year on a sort of weekly basis group.
You're getting into more ice baths?
Yeah, into ice baths. We did that one. So I want to add those extra chambers into our business. So give me a mental health score. Give me a family score. What's your life like outside of real estate? Because I think if I can conquer those other three things rather than just focus on GCI, auction clearance, EBITDA, and that's not going to get me. I'm just moving away from that as the scoreboard now, because I know the other four things that I've mentioned are the things that are driving the other three things. So we've looked at the wrong drivers. We've looked at people trying to say you're not making enough calls, you're not doing enough door knocks, you're not ringing your past clients, you're not networking, when it's you're not going to the gym, you're not spending time with your partner, you're not looking after your kids, you're not looking after your mental health. If I get them doing that, the other stuff's going to follow.
It's sort of like the Virgin model. What Richard Branson does is he makes work fun and then people perform better.
Yeah, but they're exactly right. The old saying, money follows, it never leads. I'm a real firm believer of that.
Yeah.
Money follows, it never leads. Yeah. You've got everything right happening behind you in your life. Things happen in front of your life.
Yeah.
And so that's my goal next year, to get the team holistically good. And I've taken that as a lesson from 2020.
Yeah. And what about you, Luke? What's your plans for 2021? Have you made any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, well, similar to Dad's goals for the business, that sort of falls in line with my personal goals of sort of getting my head right, taking a step back from everything. Obviously, 2020 wasn't a great year. Seeing just what's important in life and, spending time with family, partner, and everything else will follow.
Yeah, amazing. And so, Matt, have you got any other kids that are likely to jump into real estate next year?
Emma's a makeup artist. She's left school and she's studying, finishing that course. And she's pretty good with people, isn't she, Lugie?
Look at her.
She's very good. She's very good at makeup too. She works for MAC Cosmetics, not giving them a plug at the moment, but they've gratefully given her a job even through the COVID time. So she's obviously, they see something there.
Yeah.
But she's often whispered, Dad, do you think I should look at doing what Luke's done? And it's like when you've got two kids, Sam, there ain't no favourites in the family, but I'm just so blessed to have two great kids that are decent humans, first of all. That's all to my wife, I got to say. She's done the hard yards and put up with me too, which is the three kids she's got at the end of the day. But there's a high chance Emma might enter the arena at some stage. But she's going to have to follow the path. As a leader too, I got Luke to have an interview with Maria separately. Same thing I'll ever do with Emma if she does. they've got to go the hard way. I'm not old school like that, but I think it's better to earn your position. No one gave myself any free rides, and I think if I give the kids any free rides, it's not good for them. And they got to fit in, be part of the team. The team like Luke because of Luke, not because of me, which is critical. And I'd rather they say that's Luke LaHood rather than that's Matt LaHood's son. That's not what I want. And that's why I've stayed away from, in terms of managing him, and he stays away from my shadow. But as a father, you're just asking your normal questions about can you guide me here or guide me there, whether he's working for the agency or Harry Smith Real Estate, I'm still giving the same advice.
Yeah. I remember you said your father kind of did that with you with the, you know, while you were spruiking Dunlop Volleys.
Yeah, that's right.
I've got a long memory.
You know, you remember that. Yeah. Dad was in shoes, right? So, and he said, you know, it was the option was there, but Mum was a real estate person. She said, you should go into real estate. You're good with people. You're confident. Yeah. And said that that's how it works. But I had the option, which was good. Would have been the easier option. But I've said with Luke, Luke's got a skill now. If he ever just wants to turn it up one day, at least he can. He's got an IT skill. And Emma's got makeup. She's doing weddings and stuff at 18, which is impressive. So they've both got a separate skill as well. And if they want to come the path, they'll come in the hard way, which is fine, no free rides, and learn the right way then, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's good advice. We call that a side hustle these days, by the way.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I've still got a long way to go, Sam, to learn all these terms. Even though I hear Luke and Emma telling me about throwing shade and stuff and all this, I hear all that, but I still haven't chosen to accept what those terms are.
Oh, well, it sounds like you're going to learn them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, been fantastic to meet you, Luke, and I wish you all the success in 2021. And also, Matt, it's always a pleasure having you in the studio.
Thanks, Sam. And what yourselves did during that time too does not go unnoticed. Just coming out for the industry too and saying, hey, guys, because as we all know, there's not a lot of docking stations for the real estate agents to go to where they can get the right advice. And yourselves, you stepped up big time in that period and have done all year, really. But that was a period where people will remember who stood up in the industry.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I hope so. It's been a crazy year all round, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is. And your plans for the year?
Well,
winding it up shortly, I hope, having a rest.
Not until Christmas Eve.
Okay.
But as you know, we're moving to Queensland. So
yes, very exciting.
Yeah, to a sight unseen.
Yeah, very exciting.
But it is. But we're very grateful to have somewhere to go to.
We'll be moving up there shortly as a brand, so
we'll keep
our eyes
out. Absolutely. Matt LaHood, Luke LaHood, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts. Visit eliteagentelevate.com.